Find your voice. What's your unique, original voice? Don't try to be somebody else. Just figure out. And even if your voice is, I'm trying to find my voice, that's an interesting point of view.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
All right. So what do we want to talk about today?
I think as we've started this podcast, I've watched your own evolution around content.
Okay.
And the specific thing I've seen is that you've gotten really good at creating content and reusing it.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of other people can kind of get a lot of value from understanding what you're actually doing, right? So first, let's just talk about what are you actually doing to create so much content? Because you've got video, we've got this podcast, we've got a blog on this podcast, we've got the video, the daily motivation stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have the blog on closed.io, and you probably have a bunch of other stuff I don't know about.
Yeah, that's a good question. So, and I was talking about this with a founder just yesterday. So
I didn't know that. So that's great.
Yeah. I was just thinking if I can mention his name, because the company is kind of up and coming, but I won't.
Don't mention
Anyways,
it. Yeah.
So here's the evolution of our content up to this point. And we're still struggling. Yeah. There's lots of challenges. Not like I feel like we've figured everything out or we're like great, but So I think number one and foundationally really important is that we do almost exclusively evergreen content, right?
Can you describe what evergreen content is?
Evergreen content means content that is in its optimal way timeless. So it doesn't matter if you read it today or if you read it 3 years from now, it still has the same value. So it's not news related, it's not super like trendy or fashion related. If there's a lot of like slang or things that are cool right now, it's not that.
Yep.
It's something that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, somebody should still be able to read and learn a shit ton from.
Got it. So it's not like a TechCrunch post.
It's more educational,
yeah. More timeless.
Yes.
We actually at Kissmetrics, and we do this at most of the blogs now, is we don't include dates on the posts.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because
yeah.
of the idea that it's evergreen, it shouldn't matter when it was written.
Yeah.
It's not just to deceive anybody or anything. It's literally to get us in the mindset that we have to write content that lasts a long time.
Yeah, I love that. And it's not like these like top 10 lists of people. It's not that you go out there and you grab a bunch of stuff and you put it together and you make nice images where now it might be cool, but do you really know 5 years from now how many links of these will work?
So it's not BuzzFeed style content either.
No.
Okay.
So really in-depth, really tactical, strategic stuff that should be timeless.
Does that mean it's long?
Not always, no.
Okay.
No. Evergreen doesn't mean really that it's long, just that it's timeless.
Okay.
Really. And original. In an ideal world.
Okay.
For us, that's the only content we're good at. So that we have a point of view when it comes to sales. We have a strong point of view when it comes to business in general. So we just talk from that point of view. And we have a unique perspective because of the things we did. Like in the way we were running the outsourced sales development department, working and helping all these different startups. We learned so much about sales that we created or we've evolved into a pretty strong but very unique point of view.
Got it. So you're good at what you do and you have a point of view about it.
Yes. And okay. we're good about teaching others about that stuff. So the reason why I'm highlighting this is because I was talking to another founder last week that was telling me he just launched his product. It's a good product. It's like a sales email productivity product, as there are many out there that are pretty hot right now. He did something very similar, copy and pasted a lot of the things that are out there today that are venture funded. And UI-wise, UX-wise, it's a decent product. He's somewhere in Eastern Europe. And I was like, all right, the product is good. There's a demand for it. There's lots of companies that are doing well in this space. But how are you going to get, like, what's the distribution idea?
Yeah.
How are you going to, like, get people to know that you exist?
How are you going to get customers?
And he was like, well, Steli, I really love your blog. And he was saying it with a much stronger accent and much less enthusiasm than I.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I really like the closeout blog. So I thought I'm going to start doing videos teaching people about sales emails.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, can you like give me a 1 minute version of this right now on the phone? Like, what would you tell people? And not to put him down, but it was horrible. Like, you could just tell, maybe it was because I was the person, but I didn't get the sense that he's like a super, you know.
He's not you. He can't talk like he's on video.
Yeah, he's not. Video is probably not the right format for him.
Yeah.
And then we had a big discussion about like finding your own format and your voice, right? Yeah. Instead of just copying what I do, which won't work for you. You might crush me in something else.
Yeah.
So I would just want to highlight that. You need to find your voice. It's really important to understand what is a voice that's natural, that's authentic, and what's a point of view that that we truly have versus
copies. How do you copies. Do that?
It's about like getting to know yourself. It's about experimenting, probably. Yeah. And I would go with like what is easy. What is easy is usually a really good.
So it's almost like what's the easiest thing to do for you? What's so if the it's easy thing? For you to write, start writing like on paper. Yes. If it's easy for you to talk to somebody or like talk and record yourself. Have someone transcribe it and turn that into content.
Exactly.
It's easy for video, do video. And easy meaning just what comes naturally. What you're not nervous at kind of thing.
What's natural, what you can accomplish like fastest with the least amount of resistance, right? So if you have to write a blog post versus record a video versus record an audio file versus doing an animation thing, what did you gravitate to or what do you get done fastest?
Okay. So you, that's an interesting way to think about it. So I'll throw what I gravitate to.
Yeah.
So, and this took me a while because I would see my co-founder and a lot of other folks blog a lot. People actually think I blog a lot too. And I actually don't blog at all.
Yes.
I'll write a blog post of my own for my own blog maybe once every 3 to 6 months.
Let me say, you're so amazing that everyone thinks you have a blog, although you don't have a blog. I don't know how the fuck you did that. But even I have a hard time reminding myself that you don't have a fucking blog.
Well, I do have a blog, but I don't blog a lot.
You don't blog a lot.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Well, partly because my businesses are all established through blogging.
Yes.
So what I realize about myself is I'm actually better at finding content than most people.
Yes.
Right? That's something I'm good at.
Yes.
You could give me a topic right now that's obscure and I'll find you the best content within a couple minutes, right?
Yes.
And so the way I do content is I actually share other people's content.
Yeah.
Even when I do presentations, a lot of my content, I try to link to other places that had the idea first. That way I'm not repeating, but then if somebody wants more, they can go there, right? So based on that, I have a newsletter. Then I'm going to have another newsletter at some point soon. And the newsletter just shares links. It shares all the stuff out there. And today there's so much stuff out there. It's really easy for me to find this stuff. And I'm pretty good at gauging quality really fast. So I just wanted to give an example. That's not yours, right?
Yes.
You do it differently.
Yeah.
That's how I do it.
And I love it because you are an amazing curator of content.
Yeah.
And I'm on your newsletter. And it's one of the few ones that I open. Because I completely trust your judgment and your content is fucking good.
Yeah.
Right? But it's a beautiful example for like, this is something that most people would not consider
content. Yeah.
Right? Or, I can't just like put together links to great stuff. Like, I need to be an authority myself. Yeah. You can be an authority through being a curator.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Even easier than, but if it's natural to you, that's the right thing. Yeah. I would be a horrible curator.
Yeah.
Like, because I hate doing that. I don't read that many articles and I just have like very few sources that I trust and I don't want to be that source.
And you're most people. So if I can bring you content from sources you don't read, you're happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it works out for me,
works out for everybody.
Yeah.
So I love that. So let's take the next step. So how do we evolve in doing what we're doing today? So it all starts with having content that you can actually reuse and repurpose.
Yeah.
Because that's something most people don't think about a lot.
That's right.
So first, you need to find a way to build a content machine.
Yeah.
Meaning you have a way to produce content in a repeatable fashion.
So that can be a video or videos. That can be blog posts you write.
Yeah.
That can be things you find and curate. Whatever you can have a quantity of that people like.
Yes. Webinars, PDFs.
Yeah. Sure. So any piece of content.
Piece of content.
So would you call that almost like the first touch content you create? So it's like you create one piece in one way.
Yeah.
And that's what first touches. Meaning that's the thing people will see first.
Yes.
Right? Like because you created it first. And it could just be you created it first.
It doesn't the seeing it first doesn't matter.
Okay.
So the way that you need to think about this is that you need to figure out what's your raw material. Right?
Great way. I just wanted to give a name for it. So let's talk. It's called raw material.
Perfect. Raw material, right?
Perfect.
And you need to find a way to produce that raw material
continuously. Okay.
Right. So for us, when we started, I was writing blog posts. Now I love writing. I'm not that good at it. and I'll never be that good at it, but I love the art of writing. I love especially editing, like just redrafting until it's right.
Yeah.
So what would happen is I would have an idea and would start writing a blog post. It would take me for fucking ever. Like it would take me 2 weeks, 3 weeks to get one blog post. Then I started working with Ramin.
Yeah.
Who's doing all our content stuff and works with me. That's the closer and marketing department is basically one guy, Ramin, who's a friend of mine for over 15 years, lives in Bangkok. It's an amazing person. And myself. And I spend maybe 2 hours, 1 to 2 hours a day on content, and he does everything else.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he does a lot for this podcast.
Oh, yes. Too. Yes. Yes. Ramin is amazing.
Yes.
Shout out to you, Ramin. So when he joined, I was like, all right, awesome. Let's make this better. I'll write a first draft that I'm not gonna spend that much time on, send it over to you, you do a second draft, we go back and forth a little bit, and then we publish it. And that increased our speed, but in a very small way. Like,
so you went from 1 to 2 a week, something like that?
No. I would say we went from, it takes me 3 weeks to create a blog post, to it took us 2 weeks to create a blog
Understood.
Post.
Understood.
Okay. But we were struggling creating a blog post a week, and then we had the ambition to get two, and it was a fucking struggle.
Yep.
Like, every week till like Thursday midnight to get the Friday blog post published.
Is it because of just the way you write, and like it's just harder for you to write?
So
why do you think it is?
Because I think I was a slow writer.
Yeah.
B was back then, Ramin was totally new to the subject matter.
Oh, yeah.
So although he was a good writer, he was new to the subject matter, and he was new to like our type of content.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of like going back and forth of teaching, like, you know,
him getting up to speed
with the industry, with my voice, with the things that we were writing about. So it was a slow process. It was like constant. Yeah. It felt like a constant struggle, just like struggling uphill thing, my God. And then we had a pivotal moment. And 1 week, I didn't get the chance. I told him that I had this idea for this blog post. I would send him this draft. And he kept bugging me. Where's the draft? Where's the draft? Where's the draft? And then he said something magical. He was like, you know what? If you don't have the time for to write the draft, just hit record on QuickTime and just talk me through the piece and I'll write the first draft.
Yeah.
And I did that.
Yeah.
And that was fucking easy, right? It took me like 5 minutes to talk through the entire blog post. And the next day he had the draft and I was like, whoa. And
was that draft better than the previous stuff?
It was not better, but it was as good.
But it was faster.
It was a lot faster.
Okay. And it was turnaround.
And it was so much easier in terms of my investment of time, right? Something that would take me hours, it took me 5 minutes. And we're like, whoa. And then, you know what? We did like a few of these.
Yeah.
And I, at one point after one recording, I went, wait a second, if I stop referring to Ramin as Ramin while I'm recording these audios and to the blog post as the blog post, and I just edit myself a little bit, then the audio file could be
useful
content, could be the content, right? And I did that for one recording. And then I said, wait a second, if I just hit a webcam, I could just speak and we would have video, audio, and we could turn this into a blog post.
Right.
And that was a pivotal moment in our. That was when we discovered our raw material.
Yeah,
which was video.
Video, okay.
Video, right? So we went from struggling to create. I went from struggling to create like a draft every 2 to 3 weeks to recording 5 videos, 3 videos a day.
Yeah,
because for me to come up with an idea and then talk through it for 5 or 10 minutes was easy. And it was first take because I'm sort of okay on camera.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, I just gave this founder a piece of advice. I think it's valuable. Hit webcam, speak through it for 5 minutes, push the stop button, upload it on Dropbox, and I'm done. I would do this 2 or 3 times a day at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we went like boom, all of a sudden we have like hundreds of videos with this massive backlog of content. And now we can start planning.
Yeah.
We can start like just increase the speed in which we create content.
So find your raw material that's fast.
Yes.
Fast is important.
Fast is important.
And then create a collection of it.
Yes.
And then start using it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then just to comment on this, we do it very similarly with this podcast.
Yeah.
This was your genius idea.
Yeah.
Where when we first started talking about this, you said, hey, let's do 20 minutes. I read somewhere, the curator, I read somewhere that 20 minutes is the right attention span format. And then, let's do an hour because then we can do 3 recordings.
Yeah.
And that gives us, like, we started recording. You know, I realized just recently that the podcast has only been live for like a little over 2 months.
Yeah.
I would say feels like half a year or something. It feels a lot longer.
Yeah.
And then I realized, all right, but to be fair, we started recording a month prior.
That's right.
And we build a good backlog before we started publishing. And also, this gives us a lot of raw material every week, sometimes to throw things away.
That's right.
Sometimes to know, to have the comfort to know that we will be able to publish twice a week, Tuesday and Friday, no matter what, because we have a backlog of content.
That's right.
And now here's how the content machine works today at Close.io. Create a video. We take that video. We turn it into one or two blog posts.
Yep.
We usually abstract the audio file. We just started taking the audio file out and publishing it as a separate podcast.
Yep.
We do go to Quora and see, did somebody ask a question that we're solving or has a problem that we're solving with the strategy or tactic that we're describing in this blog post.
Yep.
And then we'll edit the blog post to make it more native to Quora.
And post it there
as an answer.
Yeah.
One thing that we don't do today, but I'd love to do, is just take 3, 4, 5 tweets, quotes out of the blog post and create tweets.
Yeah, that's great. Then you'll get traffic back. Yeah.
Yes. Then what we do is, once we have a bunch of content around a certain topic, we'll create a webinar about it. We will turn it into an email course or ebook.
Yeah.
Eventually, we have now 3 books.
Yeah.
Which is also a cool way of like how we repurpose and remix content, because the first book is a curation of blog posts around outbound sales.
Yeah.
The second was a curation of blog posts around inbound sales.
Yep.
And the third book is the first and the second book combined.
Yep. Makes sense.
Right?
The comprehensive guide to sales.
Comprehensive guide to startup sales, right? Yeah. So we think of everything we do, because we have evergreen content, because we have content that's timeless and it's unique to us, is how can we reuse and repurpose that content?
Yeah.
And we post it on LinkedIn a lot of times as teasers. So we'll have like the first part of the block, and then it'll link back to blog.close.io and all that stuff. And there's a million more things that we could do. But the cool thing is that people go, you're everywhere. Your content is everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, but also no. If you read everything we did everywhere, you'd realize that 50% of that stuff we would just repost and reuse somewhere else and we remix.
That's right.
But nobody reads everything we do.
No. There are different channels. People get content from different channels.
Yes.
For sure.
So to most people in most of these channels, that content is the first time they interact with it, and they fall in love with it, and they get value out of it, and it helps us, you know, obviously reach a lot broader audience and create a lot more brand awareness than if we only publish on our blog.
Yep.
And we thought about it as like every post is like, you know, has a expiration date, and then it's done, and it's bad, and we can't do anything with it.
Yeah. Makes sense.
That's the basic strategy.
How many touch points do you think you hit with one piece of raw material?
I don't know.
You think it's at least 2, though?
Oh, yes.
Right? On each one? Yeah. But you're aiming for like a lot. Just by everything you said, it sounds like you're trying to get the most out of it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which could be 5 or 6 times.
Yeah. It could be 20. You know, I think that, and we're hitting capacity right now because it's just Ramin and I working on this, but there's like a huge list of ideas, low-hanging fruit
or
ideas.
Or even a backlog of raw material, I would assume.
What we could do with all this stuff that we're not doing just because we're not getting to it, but we are hiring. If you listen to this and you're in content marketing or content creator, let me know, Stelly at Close.io. But there's a ton that you can do.
Yeah.
Like, we don't do a lot visually. We don't do any designs. We don't do any infographics. Yeah. We don't really do any visually because we have 0 visual skills.
Yeah.
And the outsourced designers we've tested in the past, it was never in a way that excited us, that we're like, yes, we want to put this out there. It didn't feel that great. We don't do a lot of visual stuff. We could do a lot more curation in terms of taking the content and turning it into courses, right? So more giving people, because people want you to take
guide them
and give them a sequence in which they should consume your content.
Yep.
They want to know, when should I read this post, that post to accomplish a certain skill or learn a certain thing.
And they'll give you their email for that.
They'll give you email for that. Yeah. They would even pay you money if
that's
we asked.
Correct. Yeah.
Which we do for the ebooks.
Yeah, and you
which
should.
Is an another interesting thing. We're probably the only one in our space that asks for money for the ebook.
Well, then I bet someone's more likely to buy your product anyway.
Yes, I think so. Anyways,
you don't have a free product, so you know.
Back to the freemium. There's a freemium episode that you want to search for when we're debating this. My hunch is we're going to have another freemium episode sooner or later.
Ready when you are.
So I think that if you create original content, if you find your raw material, then you take that raw material and you figure out what is all the shit we can make out of this, right? We can turn this into cars, we can turn this into, you know, airplanes, we can turn this into boats, we can turn this into all kinds of creative ways of using that raw material in a useful way that creates value in the marketplace and puts you out there in as many places as possible. And that's kind of our core strategy here.
Okay, it's tip time. You first. Something you haven't said yet.
Something I haven't said yet. I don't know, man. I think that when it comes to my tip on content is find your voice. Yeah. I know we said this before, but that's the most important thing. Find your voice. What's your unique, original voice? Don't try to be somebody else. Just figure out. And even if your voice is, I'm trying to find my voice, that's an interesting point of view. Like, I'm going to create 30 different pieces of content in the next 30 days to see which one is the easiest for me. And I'm going to guide this, and then I'm going to write a fucking ebook on like how to find your voice when you try to create content, right? So whatever it is, it can be interesting, even if it, even if your point of view today is that you're struggling, you don't know quite yet what your point of view is, but find your voice first before you spend a lot of time trying to tell a story, because nobody's going to care to listen to a story that's not authentic and unique in a voice that resonates.
Good. Okay. Find your voice. So I think that's a great tip. I'm going to riff on it and say that, like, there isn't a single person I've met that can't do content if they want to. And so finding your voice is great. One hack I would advise on, or a tip, I guess, is because I said that everyone could create content, it's pretty easy if you just think to yourself, like, what type of content comes easiest for you to create. It could be that you require another person there to have a conversation. It could be that, like Steli, you're good on video. It could be that, like me, you're good at curating. But there's always something that you're just good at. And it's not just good, it just comes naturally to you. Mm-hmm. And so I think finding your voice has a lot to do with what's natural for you. And then all your content or all your sort of outreach or any of the stuff you're doing that's like trying to attract customers or educate people and then attract customers, it'll just be easier if you just figure out what comes natural, what comes easy, what comes quick for you. And the truth is, like, that's when you start figuring out these sort of unique opportunities. So I think Steli's figured out a lot of unique opportunities by starting with his voice and then sort of expanding from there. And it's unique to the space. Nobody else in your space has the kind of content and reach that you're creating here.